sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from Jesus the Christ. Amen. Friends, I'd like you to try with me a little exercise just to kind of get our bodies into this gospel text, to physically orient ourselves to this phrase we just heard, the words of eternal life. How do we physically orient ourselves to the words of eternal life? So I'd like you to try this. I'd like you to try, or just do it. Close your eyes and take a deep breath. Now, with eyes closed, I want you to visualize that the world in which you live is all behind you. Literally, behind your back. You'd have to turn your head to look at the world in which you live. All the good and beautiful things about the world in which you live are back there, behind you. And all the ugly, broken, painful things are back there too. Now, I want you to bring a few things to the foreground. Things behind you, things back there in the world. Bring a few things in your mind's eye to the foreground, back behind you. When you turn, if you were to turn and look, can you see those things in the world in which you live that promise you a more pleasurable life? A better life, a more rich life. I just saw an IKEA ad that said, bring new life into your home. This promise of a better life, a pleasurable life, a more rich life. Think of all the things. Hope your eyes are still closed. Think of all the things that lure you and perhaps give you temporary joy, but joy that, of course, quickly fades if you're really honest. For some of us, it's food back there. Temporary joy, but joy that quickly fades. For some others, it's substances, maybe drink or pills. For some, it could be a relationship back there that's really not so healthy. Temporary joy, but quickly fading. For some of us, it's a compulsive habit like shopping or collecting or checking Facebook or email around the clock, just compulsively. It gives us a certain joy. Fires off some endorphins in our heads. For some of us, it's thrill-seeking. For some, it's watching sports or television shows or maybe acquiring the latest technology. Maybe it's being popular or climbing that ladder, you know, success. Maybe that's what's kind of giving joy. I mean, that can be success and achievement. That can be like a drug, too. Whatever it is for you, promising a better life, it's back there behind you. Now, keeping your eyes closed, still, turn back, literally, as if you're looking over your right shoulder at those things that lure. Just physically turn. With your eyes closed, turn your head as if you're looking over your right shoulder at those things that pull at you, that entice you, sometimes even successfully seduce you. Do you see them? Really stretch your neck. Physically turning toward those things behind you. If it hurts too much, uncoil maybe your back and look over your left shoulder. Turn your whole torso. Now, come back forward and open your eyes. Here in the sanctuary, look forward. Look at the cross. Look at the Bible. Look at the altar, that holy table of God. Now, close your eyes and look back again. Now, open your eyes and look at the cross, the book, the table, the bread. And do that a few times, almost like you're loosening up before a workout. Back, closed eyes, forward, open, back, closed, forward, open. Maybe switch sides and go left and right. Back, closed, forward, open. Back, closed, forward, open. Okay. Thank you for trying this exercise with me. I don't know how this made you feel. Just doing some visualization and actually some physical movement. Not sure how it made you feel, but maybe it's a little something like Peter in our gospel text. Lord, to whom shall we go? Back, forward, back, closed, forward, open. I actually tried this exercise earlier in my office this week, and looking back and forth, I don't know about you, a few things happened for me that I noticed. First of all, I stretched my neck looking back at the world. I kind of have had a stretch in my neck ever since. I overstretched. Interesting metaphor there. I also got dizzy going back and forth. Also interesting. As I went back, closed, forward, open, back, closed, forward, open, I got a little dizzy. Thirdly, I preferred looking forward with my eyes open. We, like Peter in our text today, are always standing at this sort of split in the road. We could go back, closed, or forward, open. Eyes on the cross. And making this choice can be kind of uncomfortable, like a stretch to the neck. It can be dizzying for a moment, but we can come out of that like Peter. We know that ultimately, eyes open, looking to the cross is the way to go, is the way to be. As Peter said, Lord, what other way is there really? As I look back there, I know everything else comes up short. Lord, to whom else, to what else shall we even go? You have the words of eternal life, not the online catalogs, not the thrills or the food or the entertainment or the work or the leisure. You, Lord, have the words of eternal life. Now, our reading from Ephesians helps us sort this out a little bit more. Because what I'm doing here with this exercise, what I've been describing so far, might sound this idea of standing in with a split in the road. Do I go this way or that? Might sound like I'm getting dangerously close to what's been called decision theology. Have you ever heard of decision theology? This is so important. This is an important distinction. This is one of the things that can set Lutherans and some of our Protestant siblings apart from other Christian relatives. Friends, we don't make a choice to accept Jesus Christ. That's not what I'm saying. We're not standing at a split in the road and will you accept Jesus or not? No, God always accepts us first. God comes to us first. That's so important, and I think that sets us apart in many ways from our Christian siblings. This place where I'm inviting us to stand today in response to this text, this place where I'm inviting us to stand with this exercise is not deciding to accept Jesus while rejecting the world. Please hear me say that. God's already claimed you. God's already done that. God's already accepted you. God knew you in your mother's womb, loved you way back then, has loved you and accepted you ever since, has called you by name, forgiven and fed you, held you close. We can run from that. We can reject it, but that doesn't change God's mind. No, there is no decision you can make about God's loving, saving, and forgiving you. You have no say in that. Amen. Solid Lutheran theology is not your decision theology. Luther said this. Many of you memorized it, I think. I cannot, Luther wrote, by my own understanding, in German the word is Vernunft, or Kraft, that is strength or force or power, might, agency, fortitude. I cannot, by my own understanding, my own Vernunft or strength or Kraft, believe in my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. I can't do it, but the Holy Spirit, here it is. The Holy Spirit calls me through the gospel. enlightens me with her gifts, sanctifies me in the one true faith, just as she does to the whole Christian church, and keeps it, this is still Luther, and keeps it with Jesus in the one communion, the one true faith. Daily in this Christian church, the Holy Spirit abundantly forgives all sins, mine and those of all my sisters and brothers. That's Luther. Okay, so we're not invited here to make a choice about accepting Jesus here. No, we're invited again today to respond to Jesus accepting us. That's the choice. Will we respond? Will we go to the world armed? This is where we borrow from Ephesians. That's language from Ephesians. Will we go into the world armed? Armed with the truth about what gives eternal life. Not all that stuff back there, but rather the word. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Armed with the bread that God gives. The water with which we baptize. That's what we're confessing and sharing here again this day. That stuff back there doesn't save us. Jesus does. Our good deeds don't save us, actually. Of course, those vices don't save us. It might give us some pleasure, of course. But they don't save us. Not even our good deeds save us, though. How many volunteered time and donated items this last week to help the suffering of our dear Afghan siblings, now refugees, in this new land? All our good work, there's been so much that's happened here at Bethlehem and around this community in Northern Virginia. All our good work doesn't actually save us. Jesus does. Jesus already has. So we as people of God, even while we live in the world, don't put our trust in the stuff of the world. IKEA doesn't bring new life into my home. The stories, the songs of God and God's people do. Should be the tagline on our Bibles and on our hymnals. Bring new life into your home. Evangelical Lutheran Worship Hymnal. The Holy Bible. Bring new life into your home. We live in the world. We love the world. We care for the world, but we don't put our trust in the stuff of the world, in the armor and the weapons of the world, in the empty promises and vain empires of the world. No, we who Christ has loved from the beginning are protected and armed only by the truth of the gospel. And fed. We are fed. Jesus tells us again this day, we are fed by the bread of heaven. It fills us with the true life of God. It nourishes and sustains us for this faithful living out there behind you, you know. We're not better than anyone, no. Ephesians reminds us we're not better than anyone. We wear the shoes of humility and peace. We're not violent. No, Ephesians reminds us we carry the sword of the word, not the sword of conquest or might. We're armed only in that we're covered by God. It's a direct counter to the literal armaments of the Roman armies. It makes no sense to them. How could you be protected by just God? That's ridiculous. You need a real weapon. The Roman soldiers would scoff at the early Christians. But we know, they knew, and we know now. We know the truth. We believe and we trust in God alone. As for me and my house, we heard in the first lesson, we will serve the Lord. Forward open. And so we turn now and go back into the world. We can't just sit here looking forward. No, we turn and go back into the world, that world that is full of beauty and pain. And we live our lives in service to this God, always keeping the cross before us. I'll leave you with this point. You see that it's actually not as clear cut as I've made it here this morning. Cross in front of us, world behind us. No, of course it's not. It's not the cross or the world. It's actually Christ's cross in the world. We gather on Sundays to remember that cross, to bring that cross out to the fore, to focus on that. But that cross is always out there in the world. We see Christ in the world's pain. This is the life of the Christian, the Christian, the way of the cross, the way of Christ who is in the world. You, Lord, have the words of eternal life. Cover us with that word, gracious Christ. Fill us with that bread, loving God. And help us to proclaim this good word boldly in all our thoughts, words, and deeds, this day and always. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.